Hello, and welcome to the Development Debrief with Catherine Van Sickle, the stories-based podcast that interviews professionals, donors, and thought leaders in the field of fundraising. Welcome to our special Valentine's Day episode. We are going to talk about hearts today. And no, I don't mean the bruised and vulnerable hearts of those of us dating in New York City. I mean babies' hearts. Our guests, John Minio and Scott Roskind, are the co-chairs of the Babies Heart Fund. The Babies Heart Fund is devoted to supporting vital research initiatives that will allow all children suffering from heart disease to grow up to be heart-healthy, strong adults. Babies Heart Fund is pivotal to the innovative research being conducted by Columbia University Irving Medical Center physicians and surgeons to benefit pediatric cardiology patients across the globe. John and Scott are New York City-based and have been involved with the cause for decades. They have the courage to talk about what was the lowest point in their lives and how they responded to it for good by creating and sustaining Babies Heart Fund. They've been able to accomplish a great deal with the combination of strong support from the medical team and their own long-term commitment to the cause. Listen as they share their journey through giving and volunteering. John, Scott, thank you so much for joining us today on the Development Debrief. This is our second donor episode where we're hearing from people who have made commitments to important causes. I'd love to hear both of your personal connections and stories with regards to Babies Heart Fund.
Okay, maybe I'll start first. This is Scott. The foundation or the concept started about 33 years ago. I was a patient and my father promised to himself that if I was lucky enough to make it through as an infant having surgery, and then a nine-year-old again having surgery, that he would do something to thank the doctors that had and nurses and staff that had done such an amazing job taking care of me. He started it with some other grateful parents with their first event actually in the basement of a Chinese food restaurant downtown in New York. And then they grew from there. I started to get a little bit involved in my teens, just going to our gala events and helping out with the auction, helping out wherever I could. So we got involved because of my medical history.
Great.
Catherine, my personal connection is dating back to 1990, so also a while ago. My son Christopher was born in June of 1990 and was diagnosed with ventricular septal defect known as VSD and tetralogy of Fallot, which we had no idea what all of those symbols and words meant when doctors were telling us. In January of 1991, we handed over our child to nurses and doctors, hoping for him to return. He did return to us. He's going to be 30 this year. So we are quite grateful to Columbia Presbyterian. After the surgery in January of 1991 and our son was sent back to us, I just didn't know what to do. My background and employment at the time and currently was in finance. So all I knew about was trading securities and raising money and doing other things. No idea about anything in the medical field. The only way that I could give back was to pick up the phone, try to track down someone in the hospital and say, how can I help?
So that was just almost like a knee-jerk reaction. That was something you wanted to do right away.
Absolutely. It was something that is priceless. And I just didn't know what to do. Thank you just was not enough. So as I said, I picked up the phone, made a few calls and tracked down some people in the development office. And I was steered to the Babies Heart Fund, got involved, continued to stay involved in the Babies Heart Fund because my only way of giving back was through the contacts, the people that I knew in the business world to solicit them to raise funds. Scott and I have been co-chairs for 12 or 13 years now. We continue to drive forward.
So what was the process from the first time you got on the phone with the development officer to when you started getting involved with the fund?
I had a few phone conversations about what resources they were always looking for, and that was funding any sort of people that would be able to help within certain industries to bring attention to pediatric cardiology and help advance the technologies that then the hospital and doctors were working on. That was my initial focus, raise funds for the advancement of technology, bringing on new fellows to help advance the program. And ultimately, it evolved as the years went on to a much bigger event and a much bigger association than we ever thought could be possible.
So you mentioned that your son is 30. What has kept you involved? You know, I'm sort of surprised that you haven't picked up something else or found another exciting new thing to do.
I still feel like I have to give back. Still the ultimate give back that my son is here and healthy today. Both Scott and I have seen the advances that have been done over the years and the lives that have been saved. When those families come in for the first time with a child not knowing, it's frightening, and they need the support and people around them to help them get through that process.
And how about for you, Scott? What keeps you, I mean, 12 years is a long time to commit as a volunteer.
The honest answer is it's very simple. It's the most rewarding thing that I can do with my time and energy. We spend time on the Baby's Heart Fund in different ways. And creating awareness, I think, has been really nice. But for me also, since my father started it.
Yeah, it's so personal.
Very personal, attached to some of the doctors. And my niece, who's now 20, about to be 26, got involved. My cousin ran one of our events for years. My older daughter, Samantha, is involved in doing some projects for the Baby's Heart Fund. So for us, it's a family thing. And there's just no reason to stop. We're not going to find a better cause for us. For us, this is it.
It's very interesting to hear how your relationship has evolved, how you've brought new people in. John, how has that worked with bringing your son in and working with him? Have you had a similar experience?
Yes, because Chris is my younger son. So both my children have been involved, attend the galas annually, help to fundraise. As Christopher was getting older, he became more involved. Both Scott's niece and my son are part of the Young Professionals Association, which is another part of the Baby's Heart Fund. They are bringing along the younger people to join the cause, whether it be their friends, family members, coworkers. So they, in fact, do a couple of events a year to help bring awareness and raise funds for the Baby's Heart.
Yeah, I actually went to one of those last February. It was really well done.
Thank you.
Is the idea around the junior donors and volunteers to sustain the leadership around the fund?
I believe that it's to try to continue the current board members are striving for. And that is, you ask us how long we've been here. Scott's been here a long time. I've been here a long time. And yes, eventually it will be up to someone else to become chair or co-chair. As that time evolves, we hope that there is a great nucleus of younger people, whether they be patients, family members, or others that just care, that want to continue this cause and strive forward.
You know, we often talk about the patients, the grateful patients, and all the impact, which is so important. But what we don't often get the chance to talk about is the staff that makes these things happen on the development side and the medical side as well. So I'd like to take some time to talk about how they help empower you to do your work as volunteers.
Well, on one side you have the doctors, on the other side you have NYP, which is really the facilities, the nurses, the staff, and the doctors are separate. Because it is Columbia University, the development staff, I would say over the last 10 years or so, has been terrific. If it wasn't for them, we would take this out onto our own 501c3 and would have to have an office and would have to hire people and would have to have essentially another business. In this case, it's under their umbrella, which is really nice for us, and they've been really good about getting it out. You know, and they're obviously there to recruit new board members or new people to come to the events, new people to help raise money in different ways. So,
yeah, John, how about you?
I think as Scott alluded to, the navigation process was years ago was pretty difficult to get through the system. It has gotten so much better that the development office has really navigated us through a lot of a lot of issues that used to take a lot longer to get rectified. The process does move a lot quicker and more efficiently, and the communication lines, it appears, between the hospital and the university is much better.
I mean, for us, it's simple. I mean, I had a call with them yesterday about another project that we're working on. They're very thorough. They're really good about getting in touch, whether it's by phone, in, you know, meetings, obviously in person, and email. I mean, we do a lot of emailing back and forth about things, and they're really diligent about it. I think that to the credit of the entire community that's helped the Baby's Heart Fund is that it's grown a lot. And I think they see how important cardiology is for the hospital, obviously, and for the community. But the Baby's Heart Fund itself has grown a lot. The awareness has increased. The dollars coming in has increased. It's not about John or myself and what, you know, it's about everybody contributing. And I think that's really helped. I mean, that, right?
That goes back to you being involved for a long period of time and really, you know, showing leadership over a long period, which is unusual in a lot of volunteer giving. And
that's very nice of you. I don't really look at it that way. I sort of just look at it as we're doing what we should be doing, and we're lucky along the way that we got some other really great people, you know, that, you know, run our events or that are involved in the day to day, that have smaller outside fundraising that they do on their own with their families. They've got a child who's young, and now the child is old enough, so he or she is, you know, raising money through a bake sale, you know, raising money through a small walk or whatever it is. So it's not just about us. It's sort of, it goes well beyond that, you know, which is really nice. And we've seen a lot of that in the last few years where people are doing their own, well, you know, sort of little satellite fundraising events, which is really great. I mean, all of a sudden then you got people raising money in a bunch of different ways, and we're just trying to do it through larger events and through asks, obviously. And they're getting involved on a personal level. So I think, you know, it's really, you know, it's about everybody.
So tell us, is the gala the biggest fundraising event that you do every year?
Yes, it is. Last year was a record year for us in terms of fundraising. It beat the year before that, and then we beat the year before that. So we continue.
Wow.
We continue to move forward, raise more money than we ever had before. All the doctors participate. Dr. Julie Vincent has just been a wonderful partner for us. Brought us families that Scott and I were able to, that Scott and I were introduced to, and able to tell them about the Baby's Heart Fund, the things that we do. Most of our board consists of grateful parents. Scott may be the only patient on the board. The rest, I believe, are mostly grateful parents.
So why do you think that the fundraising is rising every single year? Do you think part of it is awareness and bringing in more people and more friends, or is it sustainable that everyone is giving more every year?
I think it's a combination of the Baby's Heart Fund mailing list, if you will, has gotten much greater over the years. Mm-hmm. When people come to the gala, they really see the results. It works. Their technology works. They have the best surgeons, and they can by far exceed a lot of people's expectations. So those grateful people that attend the gala, they are truly generous to the cause.
How many people do you invite every year, personally? Is that hard for you to fill a table or to raise a certain amount outside of your own gift?
No, for my group of friends and family, we usually have between 20 and 25 people at the gala on an annual basis.
That's great.
So two tables, sometimes three, but countless number of family members and friends who cannot attend are on our mailing list, continue to contribute on an annual basis, annual gift giving, knowing that the Baby's Heart Fund really does work for people.
Oftentimes volunteers are nervous or hesitant to ask. And I've found with my own personal, people want to help. People step up and people surprise and amaze you in various ways when you ask them to join you.
Yes. As I said, when people see the results, babies going into their surgeries and coming back very athletic, strong, do anything, boys or girls, that means everything. And people really understand that it works.
You have a gala coming up. Scott, do you want to tell us about it?
We have a gala coming up, but I actually would go back to one thing that you were talking about before. And I think some of the growth also that we've seen has been about the doctors, because as things have grown and we've had new leadership there, it's really changed. And I think that helps too, because they're able to discuss it in a way with their patients too, or to identify the right families that could have a nice impact on what mm-hmm. we're trying to do. So I think that's been really nice for us. So the gala event is April 2nd, which will be great. It's at the Pierre in New York City. It's going to be an interesting event this year. We're doing a lot of new things. We have Jim Cramer from Mad Money of CNBC, who helps us every year generously. His wife, Lisa, is on our board and has been a tremendous supporter of what we're doing. It should really be a really nice evening.
Sounds great. So for anyone who's listening, can just anyone attend this, or how does it work?
Yeah, anybody can attend it. They can go onto our website and find information, or to our Facebook page as well for the Baby's Heart Fund and find information there. And the monies, again, that are raised there really go to research that the doctors are doing. And, you know, multiple doctors are doing very interesting research. And I believe this year, for the first time, actually, we will have some displays and of the different types of research that are being done by these amazing doctors, because it is pretty incredible. And I think
very exciting.
Yeah, that'll really bring it home, I think, mm-hmm. for a lot of people who attend, because there's then a direct connection with where their dollars are going, how they're being utilized, and what the results of that have been. So it's a very direct connection. So there'll be some interesting stories there around that, and potentially some patients who have been positively touched by some of this new research. And then, of course, you know, we'll have some other things going on as well.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to give it away, right?
No, it's too early.
Do you have anything to add, John?
I would just like to say that with the gala, as Scott alluded to, I think, yes, the guests that come and have been coming year after year, for the first time, I think they'll see some technology this year. And we went to one of the events a few months back, and these scientists and researchers are working on a pacemaker for babies. The pacemaker was the size of a pencil eraser. And inside that pencil eraser, not only was the pacemaker, there was a battery that can last for 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Just the advancements that have been made, and seeing where the dollars really go and how it affects the future is truly amazing.
Yeah, it must be so incredible to see, from your perspective, how far it's come.
Yes, the growth, and not only for the Baby's Heart Fund and how much funding continue to increase year after year, it's the advancements in technology and saving lives. That's what it's about.
So something that we think about a lot is we want to tap into our donors' passions. You've illustrated in so many ways in this conversation why the Baby's Heart Fund matters. But what moves this or other things for you from a cause and something that you give to something that you truly prioritize?
Well, for me, it's will always be a priority because it saved my son's life. My family, we do support other charities, but not to the extent of the Baby's Heart Fund. We do understand other charities do just as great a work as the Baby's Heart Fund. But we have that personal touch to it. It doesn't go away.
For us, it's interesting. just last week, I was with my father. We were at a conference and somebody had asked us the question about what I learned from my father, who I work with over the years. So, you know, learned a lot of different things, personal and professional. I just said to the gentleman that asked the question, I said the best thing was being charitable, being able to give back. And he looked at me and said, that was the exact right answer. That's the answer he would have given. So for us, it's just that everything becomes personal. And I think a lot of people get involved in different charities because of personal reasons. It's rare that somebody, I mean, it happens, but it's rare that somebody just picks up a charity and really gets involved for a real amount of time. I've always struggled with the fact that there are people, and you had mentioned a couple of times how long we've been doing this, and I don't even look at it like that. What bothers me more is when somebody's, John and I've talked about this, who's a patient, and the next thing you know, they're very involved, and then they're gone. They want to, you know, they want to get involved, they want to do this, and they do it for a year or two, and then they're gone. And I struggle with that because I don't understand that even if you can't give the same amount of money or something happens financially or something happens personally, you can't spend the amount of time, doing one or the other is better than doing nothing at all. So it's very interesting. So for me, it's sort of been ingrained, and it's just what we do.
I think that's a really important message for our listeners to be thinking about, choosing one or two things and really committing to them for the long haul, because it truly does impact the bottom line of the fundraising on the volunteer side and, you know, the future of the cause.
Causes that have long-standing relationships with their donors or their board, I feel, are sort of the strongest ones. You know, they really do a good job with it. It's hard because as somebody in our position, every year we're asking somebody to donate money, friends, family, whatever. It's just what you do. It is hard sometimes. So you have to change some things around. So we have other events. We have a golf event. We've got the Young Professionals event. And we have different things during the year where people can give different amounts of money based on what we're doing. But it's tough to ask year after year, but that's something I think after a few years you kind of get over. And actually, I've had people say, oh, I didn't get the invitation this year. I was expecting it.
So I wasn't surprised to hear that the staff at CUIMC is incredibly supportive and helping you move things along. What would you say to our listeners who are fundraisers, either in, you know, other hospitals or in other nonprofits, about how you can best be supported as volunteers? What advice would you give them to be better at their jobs?
I think as volunteers and as the staff of the development office, if the people that you're working with have a passion for their profession, like Scott and I and our board members have a passion for what we really truly believe within the Baby's Heart Fund, that's what makes it work. Both sides seeing that the other side does really care. Mm-hmm. That's very important because when you have that leadership and caring is shown on both ends, it's hard not to be successful.
The truly believing in what you're championing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I would love to end with my signature question, which I ask all of my guests. What do you know for sure?
Good, John, you can go first.
I know that over the years, the funds that we have raised and the advancements that the Baby's Heart Fund has made has helped researchers and doctors, nurses, surgeons, everyone at Columbia be better at their jobs. And it just, again, means they save lives. And there's nothing, no price tag can ever be put on something like that. It works.
Glad I asked him to go first. That was perfect. I completely agree. It's a rewarding experience when you see that something that you care about and you're working on and you donate both money, but your time too, and your efforts are doing something positive for other people.
Well, thank you both so much for what you do and for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having us.